Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome, everyone, to the Steve Jones Show on this Monday afternoon. It's great to have you with us. Sarah Bartlett and Kevin Herr alongside as we roll through the afternoon. Today's show, the Monday edition, being brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com. Here we are at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Don't forget about Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf, and that hotline. It's being powered by Lenape Solar at 1-800-795-9565. And that's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Visit them online at lenapesolar.com.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Finally, rookie quarterbacks came back to earth in the NFL on Sunday. Brandon Weeden threw four picks for the Browns. Ryan Tannehill threw three for the Dolphins. Andrew Luck, three interceptions for the Colts. Russell Wilson was okay, but nothing like the quarterback we saw for the Seahawks in the preseason. Notice I'm not saying Robert Griffin III. Because there's no way the Redskins QB is really a rookie. Somebody better check out his football card for fraud. Do they still have football cards? If they do, they need to see if RG3 is lying about his background. Maybe he played a couple of seasons in the CFL. Because you don't see that kind of poise from a first-year quarterback. You don't see that kind of poise from most opposing quarterbacks in the Superdome. It wasn't just the numbers, which were spectacular. It was the way he commanded the field. If I didn't see him win the Heisman last year with my own eyes, I'd never believe RG3 just started his pro career yesterday. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. It's no secret that all athletes are not created equal, and the folks at AutoZone want you to know that not all car batteries are either. You need to be able to depend on what's under your hood all the time, and that's why you should stop into AutoZone today. It's the only place to get super dependable Duralast batteries. They're proven tough and designed to stand up to the harshest conditions. So in extreme hot or cold, you can count on their patented technology to give you reliable starts every time. Don't rely on a run-of-the-mill battery. Get a Duralast today. Get in the zone.
Whoa, I can't believe you have these great seats, man. Did you get season tickets?
John, we're in my basement.
Ah, right. That new TV is huge.
Football is a game of inches, so get to the ultimate football experience at Sears, and we'll help put some awesome ones on your wall. Right now, save $200 on a sharp 60-inch 1080p LCD TV, only $999.99. This is game-changing. This is Sears. Offer ends 9/15/12. See store or sears.com/football for details. Prices may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
News Radio 1070 WKOK's online community is your chance to interact and stay informed on the news of the day. Following us on Twitter
at WKOK 1070
and Facebook
at 1070 WKOK
is a great way to get the news and join the conversation. The next time you're online, follow us and fan us on Twitter at WKOK 1070 and on Facebook at 1070 WKOK.
1 in 4 U.S. babies are at risk for severe infections because they're not completely vaccinated by age 2.
My 3-year-old couldn't breathe, so we rushed him to the hospital. I was told he had a vaccine-preventable disease. We had delayed his vaccinations. Now Matthew is getting caught up on his vaccines.
Babies are at greatest risk for infectious diseases. That's why these early vaccines are so important.
No parent should watch their baby suffer.
To make on-time vaccination easy, visit pkids.org, a message from parents of kids with infectious diseases.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza would like to give you some advice on your next used vehicle purchase. There are many dealers offering $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book value for your trade, or a minimum of $3,000 for your clunker. Do you know what that means? It means these dealers are asking $3,000 too much for their vehicle. At Sunbury Motors, we have the lowest price promise on pre-owned vehicles. We research the market and make sure our prices are the lowest of any similar vehicle within a 50-mile radius from a franchise authorized dealer. We also put our used vehicles through a stringent 135-point inspection, making sure you're getting a quality vehicle. So don't be fooled by the smoke and mirrors from these screaming dealers offering unrealistic trade offers. Visit Sunbury Motors online at www.sunburymotors.com, or better yet, come in and see that every pre-owned vehicle is clearly marked with our lowest price promise. Sunbury Motors, proudly serving Central PA for almost a century. And remember, always ask for a Carfax.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com at the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And don't forget about Sunbury Motors Kia, great dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar. Go to LenapeSolar.com. We welcome in the magic man himself, Kevin Herr.
Well, let me know when the magic man gets here.
Oh, boy.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, as a matter of fact.
That's great. That's great. You have a good weekend?
I can understand that. And, you know, I was doing another show and somebody asked me about, you know, about the situation. I said, well, I said, I'm not worried about the situation. And they said, well, what, you know, what do you mean you're not worried? We're worried about it. You know, and I can understand why fans would be worried about it. See, and here's the reason why I'm not as worried, right? He has to do it in a game. So that part, obviously, is a concern until it happens, correct? But I'm not worried about it because I see him kick every day. He's had one day. He had one bad day in the preseason. I can tell you exactly which day it was, too. It was the Monday of the last two-a-day, 12 days before the first game. He couldn't hit anything that day. Nothing. But all the other practice days I've gone to, he's kicked well. So I'm not. First of all, you know me well enough after all these years. What don't I do?
Panic, worry.
Or overreact.
Or overreact, right.
I mean, there are times on this show, as an example, okay, where Kevin gets all upset about something. He's trying to line up a guest. He can't get the guest. Or he's trying to call the guest, and the guest, you know, we can't get the guest in the line, right? Who's panicked and who's not?
Oh, I'm completely panicked.
Yes. Yes.
You, on the other hand, are like, we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Sure, the ship is sinking, but I mean, it's sinking slow enough. I think we can make it.
You would have been the captain of the Titanic. Don't worry. We got plenty of time.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and that's just the way it is. So I've watched him enough. Now, again, he has to do it in a game. Must do it in a game. And one of five, and the one he made on Saturday was ugly. Okay? And I knew the extra point was going to come back to haunt them. It's just one of those things that you have a gut feeling about. You know right away it's going to haunt them. All right. I got it. Haunting. And, you know, I mean, I knew that the entire time. It's going to haunt them. My goodness. Okay. We start out with this one from social media. From Robert. This is actually from Friday. I was listening to the show segment with Nate Mink, Ron Musselman, and Jared Starling discussing the future of recruiting. They seem to agree that recruiting in the future will be difficult and that walk-ons will be extremely important, and maybe only a handful of top talent may be interested in Penn State. In light of this, do you see Penn State possibly looking to junior college players during the years of the sanctions? And that's from Bob.
Bob, that's an excellent question. And yes, I do see that. I do see the possibility of a JC player or two getting themselves involved in Penn State recruiting. That door is going to be open. Okay? That door is going to be open. And I think that because that door is going to be open, and it's not going to be, you know, they're not going to go out and get 10 JC players out of 15. But I wouldn't doubt that there are some junior college players that have the grades and can carry over the their credits, because that's an important part for a JC player. You have to have the ability to carry over the credits, all right? And I would see, I could see one, two, maybe, JC players being in that mix that have a little more experience that can keep, if they think that they're good enough to keep the talent level where they need it. So that's a very good question. And I think it's a valid question in what you're going to see that being part of the mix, because these coaches have a lot of connections, And because they have the connections they do, and they have a lot of connections with junior college programs, they've all been down this road before, all right? And because they've been down the road before, that's why they have the connections. So, yeah, JC players certainly are a possibility in all of this. All right? Hope that answered his question. But, yeah, I fully expect that they're going to keep that option open.
I had a question on the field goal. Well, and because I remember you guys talking about how heavy the rain was. Did that have any effect on the snap, the hold, or anything in the whole sequence?
That all looked good. You know what? That all looked good. You know, so I'm not gonna say the weather had anything to do with it, because I mean I think Emory Etter put it right on the money, and I think that Ryan put it down. I mean, it looked like laces were good the whole thing. So, you know. So that's what we'll, you know, that's, so I don't think that really played into it. I didn't see that playing into it. 1-800-795-9565. A legitimate question, though. I mean, that's legit. But I think it's just a case of he didn't have a good day.
And those things happen.
Right? I mean, he just didn't have a good day. Now, he's gonna need good days, because there are going to be a lot of games that come down like this. When you're playing a good schedule, and I point out the entire time, I think it's a good schedule. Now, is there a great team on the schedule? No, but there's a lot of good teams on it. A lot of good teams. Well, when you're facing a lot of good teams, that comes into play. They're going to have to do a better job of kicking. Simple as that. Rick of Montoursville wants to add something to it at 1-800-795-9565. Welcome to the Lenape Solar Hotline, Rick.
Well, I'm not going to be as kind as you. I think our wins are going to be few and far between, and we can't lose them on extra points. And I think there ought to be some walk-on kickers somewhere up there that can kick a ball.
Well, you know, they've tried. They've brought in kickers. I mean, they have brought kickers in during the course of the preseason, mostly to try and solve the punting part of it. Not to solve the place-kicking part, but to solve the punting part of it. I think they've had more concern about that, Rick, than they have about the place-kicking part of it. And I could think of two kickers that were brought in the preseason, because there's really only so much you can do in the preseason because you're limited to 105 guys. So you have to have an opening to do it, okay? It's not as simple as, oh, yeah, let's bring in 10 kickers and now you have 110 people there. It's against the NCAA rules to do that. But they did, when they had openings for kickers, they actually brought two kickers in the preseason. And, again, he's still the best one of the group right now. But it's mostly the punting. They're more concerned about the punting part, to be honest with you, than they have been with the place-kicking part.
Well, I don't know. I'm very, very, very disappointed in what I saw Saturday. I thought there was a win, and the defense played a heck of a game, and this kicker just couldn't get it done.
No, I mean, he'll be the first to tell you he did not get it done. And we all we all know he didn't get it done, Rick. We just all know he didn't get it done. But he's a 19-year-old kid, and you know what, Rick? That 19-year-old kid still decided to stay here, and he's a scholarship kicker. And there are going to be a lot of days that come down to that thing, and he is going to have to make it.
Steve, was Ficken, was he a high school kicker as well? Did he play soccer?
Yeah. Nope, high school kicker. He was kicked a 52-yarder in his college career. So he's had, that's one of the reasons why he was so heavily recruited. And great gene pool as well. His cousin's Robbie Hummel, from Valparaiso. Like, I've watched this kid kick in practice for 2 years. Okay, is he perfect? No. Is he bad? No, he's not bad. I mean, I've watched this kid kick a lot. He had, like I told you, there was a day, 12 days before the Ohio game. He missed everything. I was like, oh, brother, don't need to see this, because I knew the margin of error was thin. But then after that, he settled down, and he's been kicking in practice the same way he kicked in practice before that day. The fans are worried about it? Sure. Are the fans justified in being worried? Yes. Am I worried? No, not as much, because I've seen him kicking up, but I want it. But he has to do it with the lights on. You can put them in all the practice situations you want, where you try and put as much pressure on them as you can. But it doesn't compare, no matter what situation you put them in, to actually standing out there and trying to kick the thing. You know, he was going to redshirt this year. He was going to redshirt and have 3 years of eligibility remaining, and then, of course, Anthony left.
By the way, we just got word that the September 22nd Temple game will kick off at 3:30 on ABC.
Sorry, I already knew that.
I knew you did, but...
Sorry about that. No, I knew that 2 hours ago, and I forgot to mention
it. I figured you did, but, you know.
Yeah.
I would hope you did anyway.
Yeah. So they'll both be 3:30s and both 2 o'clock. It's plenty of tailgating time for you and Barty to come on down and join us.
22nd. I think that's the Bucknell home opener.
Great. Why don't you come on over?
Well, if it was an 8 o'clock start, it'd be no problem.
You and Barty come over and party for a little bit, you know? That'd be a lot of fun. Be a lot of fun. Navy hasn't played for 2 weeks. This is going to be interesting. Guy Cipriano, by the way, from the Saturday Daily Times, is going to join us at 3:35. Tomorrow, we're looking at Maya Hayes, who helped the United States under-20 team win the gold medal in women's soccer. She's one of the top goal scorers in the country. We're going to have Navy's play-by-play guy on Thursday. StateCollege.com guys step in as well this week and help us out. Oh, we have a lot going on. We were going to try and get Navy's coach on live. How about that?
That'll be great.
Yeah, we're working on it.
You just don't do enough for this show, Steve. Pick it up a little bit, will you?
Working on it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You get mad at me about the littlest things.
What? What are you referring to now?
You're mad at me because I got home so soon on Saturday.
Well, as I'm sitting up in Poughkeepsie at the Marist College press box, and the thunderstorm's coming through, I know we're going to be delayed for at least an hour. So kickoff is now 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, geez, I really hope Steve was able to get out of Charlottesville because I know there were storms hitting at the end of the game. So I figure I'm going to just send a nice text. Hey, did you have a good flight? Are you able to get out of there? I get a one-word answer. Home. Home. And yeah. I'm looking at him going, home? It's less than 3 hours. The next time I'm looking at home is 4 a.m. Sunday morning. It was actually 3.
Wow. Then you're mad at me about the printer.
What, your little printer install in 15 seconds?
Well, you got mad at me because I got a little printer from down here that I need, okay? Yeah, just it makes it just easier, all right?
I understand that.
So, you know, it just makes it easier to have it here, stuff I can work off down here. And so I installed it during including the software thing during a commercial break. That made you mad.
No, it didn't make me mad. It's just I always end up with extra issues when I try and install something quickly.
No, I'm done. So, 1-800-7965, brought to you by our good friends, by the way, Purdy Insurance. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Want to jump in and give us a call? You know, working Kevin's anger issues.
Have they already rolled the clock over and now it's Navy? Do they roll the clock
sure.
over like right after the game?
Sure, they have to.
Bucknell
even,
has.
Even if they won, they roll it over.
Well, Bucknell has this clock in their locker room. Right. And Joe Susan will roll that clock over as soon as they're done with their post-game discussion at home games. So I was just curious to see if there's anything similar to that at Penn State.
I don't know about the clock part. But mentally they do. Mentally they do. So, which is important.
And what is the mental status, the emotional status of the team right now that from what you saw over the weekend?
I think they rolled it over pretty fast. I mean, they know they got better. They just now need the validation of a win. I mean, they know defensively they played a lot better, gave up a couple big plays that they know they shouldn't have given up. They know they got better in defense. So they forced 4 takeaways and for the most part played extremely well. It's the 2 big plays that really bothered them. Offensively, they know they played really well again. They just also know they have to finish drives in the red zone. Special teams, we know, is a problem. Kickoff return game, can't say much to you about that. Everybody's kickoff return game is the same across the country, with the kickoff being moved to the 35 and a touchback at the 25. Most teams are taking the touchbacks because you have to get the ball to the 26 to make it worth it. All right? So that's not an issue on either one of those parts. But the punting of the ball, punt returns. You know, Butterworth had a fabulous 52-yard punt that Motti covered and nailed Shepard on the return. Okay, he has to do more of that as a punter. He has to be consistently in that 38 to 45-yard range with limited returns. If he does that, then he will be fine, okay, if he does that. But he has to be more consistent. And the next part is that the punt return part, man, it's just a question of just catching it right now. Is getting people back there that are competent enough to field it. The place kicking part, we all saw that on display, and people are worried about it. They should be worried about it. That's fine. I'm not as worried. I see him enough, but I completely understand if somebody says to me, I'm worried. All right. Bring in Guy Cipriano from the Center Daily Times on our Lenape Solar Hotline. Guy, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
How you doing, Steve?
Good. Okay. So you're looking for a week one to week two improvement. Did you see a week one to week two improvement in the product that we saw Saturday?
I think it was a huge week one to week two improvement. I mean, take the result aside and take the kicking game aside, obviously. There were so many good things that happened in this game. And one of the things about this season, I don't know if nice is the right word, but one of the things that you're going to see this season. And I think I maybe told you this before, that maybe it's going to be more like minor league baseball. There's no end goal. It's about developing players, getting them better, trying to get better day to day. Sometimes winning can mask results. You know, you can win and not go through the process right and not be improving. You know, sometimes you just win things in fluke ways. And really, if you look at it, the defense played a lot better against Virginia than it did against Ohio, and there were some major concerns with the defense after the Ohio game, especially on the defensive line. But Virginia had a more physical and more athletic and a bigger offensive line than Ohio did, and Penn State's defensive line made some huge improvements. Jordan Hill had an absolute monster game. Sean Stanley and Deion Barnes did some nice things on the end against some really good Virginia tackles that were 6'6" and two of the better players in the ACC at that position. So there were four turnovers forced. Third downs, obviously, an issue. You can't let opponents convert 85% of their second half third downs. It's not going to win you a lot of games. But the defense was a lot better, and I think the offense played better. I mean, Matt McGloin showed tremendous grit, no turnovers. I mean, that's what you need to do to win games. There's some receivers emerging as threats. I mean, Alex Kenny, anyone that saw him play in high school knows that he's got phenomenal speed and phenomenal big play ability, and I think we're beginning to see flashes of what he can do. He really catches the ball well for a guy that really just got permanently moved to wide receiver before spring drills. He's probably the fastest player on the team. He's put on a lot of upper body strength. The tight ends continue to progress, and the offensive line, and I'll put a caveat in this, the offensive line, when Donovan Smith is in the game, does a nice job. Now, it's a completely different line when Donovan Smith is injured or has cramps or is feeling fatigued. So, to me, Steve, there were some good things. That results aside, kicking game aside, there were some improvements because Virginia definitely has more athletic ability and talent than Ohio. That's not to say that Virginia ends the year with a better record than Ohio, but Virginia had a better caliber of athlete.
The two-minute drill at the end. Now, we know what the end result was, but what did you think about watching the Nittany Lions in a situation where they have to get it done themselves and are not going to get a lot of help from the sideline? That's a result of repetition and practice. What did you think of what you saw at that point?
I think that's a sign of Matt McGloin being a leader, Steve. I mean, this is a guy that shared time the last 2 years. You can't really be a leader when you're not out there all the time. I mean, he showed the reasons why Bill O'Brien named him the starting quarterback back on June 1st. I mean, he showed an ability to lead a team, organize guys, calmly call plays, get people in the right spots, and just make smart decisions. On that two-minute drive at the end of the game, to me, most of the credit goes to Matt McGloin, and we're really seeing his maturation as a quarterback. And you could tell that, when he doesn't have the pressure of looking over his shoulder, he's a completely different player and leader.
Yeah, there's no question about it. What kind of possible impact do you
– type of running back he is, but we do know how versatile the guy is. And when you say, will Bill Belton make a difference? Yeah, he'll obviously run the ball maybe better than some of the other guys. But I think where the difference comes in is that he gives them a receiving threat out of the backfield and gives them another slot receiving threat. And, one thing this team is going to need to do is find ways to stretch the field, Steve. There's only the longest offensive play has only been 30 yards through two games. That was Allen Robinson's touchdown catch. You're going to need guys that can flip the 8 to 12-yard pass or into something big. And, I mentioned Alex Kenny, and I think Bill Belton's another type of guy. So I think, obviously he would have a good impact on the running game, but I look at him as much of a receiving threat as a running threat, and that would certainly help inside the 20-yard line.
Obviously, we all know the special teams component of this. The kickoff part's fine. The kick return part's fine. But the punting, whether it's receiving the ball or else the punting of the football, and we know about the 1-for-5, and I get that. I'm not glossing over that part at all. But there's certain moments in time where you can only beat the horse so many times, okay? But the hidden yards part of that, how difficult is that going to be to correct?
Yeah, let's start with the kickoff. Let's start with something positive here. The new kickoff rules are actually helping Penn State because they clearly don't have a kicker that can boom the ball into the end zone. Well, when you boom the ball in the end zone now, the other team starts at the 25 instead of the 20. One thing Sam Ficken has done a nice job of is kicking the ball high. The ball gets to the 5, you get your return team down there quick enough. most of the time they're going to be starting inside the 25. So Penn State's actually gaining yardage on the whole kickoff situation because of the new rules. The new rules are actually maybe benefiting Penn State more than other teams because they don't have that guy that just kicks the ball through the end zone. So, the punting game, they have to find ways to get punt return yards and get longer punts. I mean, Alex Butterworth had a nice punt in the fourth quarter, and that came in a very critical situation.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes, it did.
Some of his other punts aren't cutting it. You know, he's getting a lot of yards on roll. You know, I think his first punt only went like 26 yards in the air and then maybe rolled 10 yards. They're either going to have to develop more confidence in him, or he's going to have to get more confidence or go to another option. And the punt return game, yeah, that's a huge question mark, Steve. You know, maybe if you get Bill Belton back healthy, I'm not saying he's going to return punts, but maybe that means Amos or Alex Kenny can return punts. I mean, Alex Kenny did it in high school, and he was awfully good at it. I don't know what the injury risk is like, but, you know, maybe he's a guy that can help on the punt team. You know, Evan Lewis is a pretty reliable guy. I'm not sure how many return yards he's going to get you, but, you know, he's going to catch the ball and pick it up at the right spot. So, yeah, you know, there's some positives and negatives in that hidden yardage game you just mentioned.
Yeah, and the hidden yardage part's the part that's very important. They need Butterworth to be more consistent. He doesn't have to kick it 52 yards every time like he did on the Mahdi play, which was a fabulous punt with no return and exactly what you needed, as you pointed out. But they do need to have the consistency that the ball's going to be kicked with some height from 38 to 45 yards, you know, as often as possible. I mean, and that, I think, would calm everybody down in that part. As for Ficken, look, everybody has a day like that. And he did. But, you know, he's going to be called upon to try and win some other games down the road, and I'm confident that down the road he'll handle it better. But that's a different issue, a different day.
Yeah, and I think the thing that frustrates some people about it is not that Sam Ficken went 1-for-5, Steve. I think that there's a lot of people, especially people in town, that have seen some really good kickers come through State College High School and maybe are wondering why isn't a Kevin DeSanto getting a shot or a Josh Clothier or somebody. I don't think people are necessarily that mad at Sam Ficken, and maybe they're mad that after three missed field goals there wasn't another option. I know Matt Marcinson was the only other kicker to make the trip, but I think maybe people would like to see some things tried different if a guy doesn't make the kicks,
right,
more so than actual anger at the kid himself.
Yeah, well, it's a little harder now, without question. Now, the change up this week, one of the things that's fun about college football to me is that there's so many styles, pro style, spread style, option style. Now you have this Navy style of playing. How much are you looking forward to this weekend's game, not just because of the style of play of Navy or the fact that it's here, but also the fact that it's the Naval Academy and they bring a little pageantry with them?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Steve, anytime you get to play one of the service academies, it's special. They have great college football traditions, but more importantly, they have great kids and people that are going to do great things way beyond football. And anytime you get a chance to see those kids play and interact with other athletes, that's special. I mean, Navy hasn't played Penn State since 1974, right, Steve?
Mm-hmm.
It's been almost four decades, and
yep,
you know, Navy has a phenomenal football history. They've had some phenomenal players, but like I said, you know, it's going to be interesting this week. Just seeing some of these kids come into town and reading their bios and hearing their backgrounds and seeing what their GPA is and what their major is, and kind of, you know, I'm going to get to talk to some of them on Wednesday morning, and I look forward to talking to them and just hearing their life story and what they go through. You know, a lot of people talk about what the Penn State players have been through, and they've been through a ton of difficult times, Steve, and they've handled it really well. I'm curious to hear what a Navy player goes through. It's probably more difficult than what any other college football player goes through because there's so many obligations outside football. So yeah, you know, it's a special game. We have a lot of military people in Central PA that have done great things for the country. I'm sure they're going to come out to the game, and it's going to be a special opportunity for some of those people to see a service academy play. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the triple option. I was watching the Air Force Michigan replay a little last night, and Air Force runs the triple option, and I'm interested to, you know, I've seen it a ton covering high school football. You don't see it as much in college football. I'm interested to see how the quarterback handles that, and, you know, how many times the fullback runs and how many times the quarterback keeps it and how many times he pitches it and how Penn State reacts to it. So it's going to be a fascinating offense to watch because, you know, you would know better than me, Steve, when was the last time they went up against a style like that? It's probably been years.
Yeah, it's been years since they faced an option team like this. It was primarily an option team. Obviously, the way Braxton Miller runs it, Braxton Miller wants to run the ball, wants to run option off of it. But you know what? Braxton Miller last year against Penn State, not one time pitched the ball. No pitches of the ball. Every time he took it on a read option, he kept it and went. Somebody said to me the other day, well, Navy got clobbered by Notre Dame. I said, yeah, but SEAL Team 6 picked up a big win in Pakistan. All right, so that's what they are.
Well, they've had 2 weeks to recover from that game, and 2 weeks to think about it, and a bye week. And, you know, I mean, maybe Notre Dame's a darn good football team. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe this is one of the better Notre Dame teams in the last 5 years. Who knows? I mean, this is certainly not going to be an easy game for Penn State because Navy has 2 weeks to prepare for it. Navy has a good coaching staff, and Navy's, you know, really a 7-9 win team. Besides last year, they've had some really nice years under Coach Ken, and you're going to have to pronounce his last name for me, Steve. I just have to spell these things. But they've had some nice teams under their head coach, and it's not going to be an easy game. And like I said, it's a fascinating matchup, and you know, despite Navy being 0-1 and Penn State being 0-2, I think it's something you get to excited for just considering the history of the programs and what they mean to college football.
Yeah, I was talking with Ed DeCellis last year. And he's the head basketball coach at Navy. And Ed told me that he has to have a specific practice time. It's 7-9 for him every night. He can't vary practice. And one day, one of his kids showed up at practice soaking wet and a little bit late. Soaking wet. He looked at him. He said, what happened to you? He says, well, he says, we were doing SEAL team maneuvers in the river today.
And you know, they're probably practicing 7-9 and then probably have to get up at 5 a.m.
Yep.
And
you 5 a.m.
Anyone that's run or even watched a game or been in a sporting venue at 9 o'clock at night knows you just can't go to bed right after that. It's far too difficult. So, you know, anytime I think I live on short sleep or my wife lives on short sleep, you just think about what these guys go through, and it's incredible.
It's a discipline unlike any other in college football, and that's one of the reasons why you see Air Force, Army, and Navy run the option because of the size requirements that the academies have to have because they're being built for something else completely different than what we're being built for.
Yeah, you know, I'm interviewing Navy's coach here at 2:30, and one of the fascinating things I want to find out from him is it frustrating recruiting at Navy or is it exhilarating? I guess on one end it would be frustrating because you don't get all the 3- and 4-star athletes that other teams do. But I guess on the other end, it would be exhilarating because you come in contact with literally some of the best high school kids in the country, some of the best all-around kids in the country you get to recruit. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say to that question.
Yeah, because I think you're right. He's probably not getting 3- and 4-star athletes, but he's getting 5-star men. So.
Yeah, and sometimes they can become pretty darn good athletes when you get enough of them together.
Absolutely right. It's not like they don't have a great history. They have 2 Heisman Trophy winners in Joe Bellino and Roger Staubach in their repertoire.
Yeah, I was looking at their media guy last night, and you know, you look at their all-time record and what they've done and some of the players they've produced. Mm. And you know, in the 20s and 30s, you know, they were one of the college football powers. And even when they had Roger Staubach in the 60s, they could compete with anyone in the country. It's a little different era and time. But like I said, these are two just fabulous histories playing Saturday at Beaver Stadium. And, you know, you can't pay attention to the records. You can't pay attention to the missed kicks last week. You know, when you're just sitting there thinking about this game, you got to think that, you know, it's lucky it's not every day the Navy comes into your town to play the team you follow.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. That's going to happen. It's going to be Military Appreciation Day. And Staubach took them to the Cotton Bowl, by the way. They were really good back then. But you know what? They have been a bowl team consistently in the last 15 years anyway. So they've had good programs from – didn't matter who was coaching them.
And Paul Johnson, you know,
at Georgia
obviously
Tech
had a nice run at Navy for a long time, and now he's at Georgia Tech. And, you know, they're competitive. They're a 7-8-9-win ACC team. So it's a place that has some good coaches. And I look at their coaching staff, and I think every guy on their staff's been at Navy for 5 or more years. So, I mean, these guys have been together and stuck together. And, you know, it's just going to be, like I said, it's just going to be interesting to see the whole scene and, you know, ceremony involving military personnel. And there's really a chance to honor, you know, some of the people that have done great things for this country. To me, it's more than a football game on Saturday. I know that sounds trite, but, you know, when Navy comes, I think it's just more, it's about way more than football.
No, I think you have your perfect handle on it, as always. Guy, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the press conference and later this week.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
Guy Cipriano, Setter Daily Times, as we talk about Penn State Navy. Of course, tomorrow will be the 11th anniversary to the day, because it was also a Tuesday, of the September 11th attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and, of course, the plane that was brought down here in our own state, Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We'll come back second hour of the show. We've had a lot of requests here to get Kevin more actively involved.
Let's see. I highly doubt that.
And by the way, it's a blowout on Saturday. Okay. We'll come back second hour of the show. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can always go to purdyinsurance.com and Lenape Solar Hotline, 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. Second hour coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.